Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, January 18th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 55, the fifth paragraph, which begins with, in this book you will read, and we're going to read two paragraphs this morning, ending with, brought him to the point of self-destruction. Today's readers are Lois P., who will be reading the text, Kara L., reading page 164, and Eileen M. will be our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Reggie O., and Robin P. will be doing announcements. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, January 18th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,860-19860, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,862-19862. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Eight, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and the practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be with service, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. Appreciate it. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Alex K., compulsive eater in California. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. be the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I'm grateful to do service.
Well, thank you so much, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And we ask that you do that and not just mute your phone, please. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So star 1 to unmute and star 1 to mute. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're going to be on page 55. The fifth paragraph that begins with, in this book, you will read, and that's that bottom paragraph, and we're going to read two paragraphs ending with, brought him to the point of self-destruction. I will now ask Lois P. to begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. In this book, you will read the experience of a man who thought he was an atheist. His story is so interesting that some of it should be told now. His change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. Our friend was a minister's son. He attended church school, where he became rebellious at what he thought an overdose of religious education. For years thereafter, he was dogged by trouble and frustration. Business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide. These calamities in his immediate family embittered and depressed him. Post-war disillusionment, ever more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical collapse brought him to the point of self-destruction. This giving up of one's faith, giving up the idea that there is a God, you know, most people, myself included, were brought up, and I was brought up in a traditional religion. And I, too, like this man, left it just thinking that, well, this is just too much religious education. I need to find my own way. And I went off into life as he did. And in my case, I studied philosophy. You know, that was my thing, and I just thought I had all the answers. And all that brought me, as it did for him, was this realization that I was out here alone without anything tethering me to something greater. So he experienced all these things going wrong in his family life. He saw darkness and failure all around him. And then that would, of course, because he did not have a connection at that point to something greater than himself, his disillusionment increased, his alcoholism increased, mental and physical collapse was right. He was on the verge of total destruction. This is what I have found happens when we are, or I was, untethered, when I did not have a solid ground of being in that greater whole, that greater divinity, that greater self. And I was out there thinking I knew it all, and I threw away my traditional religious teachings, and I actually mocked it as the philosophy major. And it brought me to the point that this man is at, where I became ruined because life was too big, it was too overpowering, it was too strong for my little self. And he's at that point now where he's on the verge of total destruction. And this is a perfect moment, because unless I completely surrendered and died to the old way of thinking, to the old way of being Lois, there was no room for true spiritual transformation. So the point of destruction he's at now is actually a moment where there's a horizon he doesn't know yet that can be appearing in his life that he will soon see. But first, the darkness has to come, the great darkness before the dawn. So everyone out here, if you're experiencing this total frustration with yourself and with life, good. If you're suffering and you don't know what to do and you feel lost and you just can't control anything, this is also good. So becoming destroyed is the great way to a new life. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lois P. Great way to start the meeting. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Monday and Tuesday, you would be available to share today, or eligible to share today. So I will now take names of people who would like to share. So please slowly let me know your name, last initial, and where you're from. Who would like to share on this
Tara L.
Today? I've got Tara L.
Debbie,
Kara L or Kara M?
It's L. It's Kara L.
Okay, I thought I heard L. I thought I heard M. Okay, awesome, Kara. So, who else? Who was next?
Michelle J.
Deb E.
Michelle J. I heard Deb E, I believe.
Yes, thank you.
Sure. And who else would like to share on this, on these two paragraphs? Okay, we'll start with these three, and then we'll get some more names.
Justin
so,
B.
Oh, we'll add you on there, Justin B. Gotcha. All right, well, so I've got Kara L., Michelle J., Deb E., and Justin B. So, Kara, you're up first.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. It's so good to be on the lines with my fellows this morning. Oh, and in the big book, you know, and I really identify with the story we're about to hear. His change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. And I find myself, I don't know if you guys ever have, but I find myself this morning, just like I woke up disgruntled and irritable, and I have to fix everything. And that is who I am without a connection to my higher power. And I can let all those things that, you know, he was talking about, the business failure, the insanity, the fatal illness, the suicide, the calamities in his immediate family, post-war dislike. I can let all those things in my life my husband not doing what I wanted to do, workers not doing what I wanted to do, you know, things are happening all around me. And I can really get sucked into that. I can really get sucked into that and on my own terms. Me trying to navigate through all of that, I get disgruntled and bitter and I come crashing down. And the only hope I have today, and we'll see here as we move through this story, is the only hope I have today is grasping out to a higher power and saying, I don't know. I don't know how to do this and I need help. And today, you know, what does that look like to me? Well, it's working the steps. It's being a service. You often hear me saying this on this line is, everything I ask my higher power's opinion. What do you think? You know, give me intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision. What should I wear today? What lipstick? What shoes? What should I have for breakfast? And that's like my direct line into saying, I don't know. I need help. And I trust that you're there. And with that, I pass. And I look forward to hearing from all of my fellows this morning. Thank you for everybody doing service.
Thank you so much, Kara L. And Kara is from Long Beach, California. Next up, we have Michelle J.
Good morning. Michelle J. calling in from Arkansas. Golly, much like Lois, I kind of went on this memory lane thing. But anyways, I will tell you, I'm a foodie. I am recovering and probably will recover my entire life because that's my Achilles tendon. So there we go. You know, as an atheist at about age 13 to 25, those were some weird years. Early on, I was young from, you know, 0 to 12, 13. I did have a relationship with God. There was an innocence, a safeness, a security, but when you wake up to the years of accountability, you know, I'm very creative. I'm an artist. I spend a lot of time in everything from drama classes, philosophies, sociologies, psychologies. So after college, by then I was pretty much a true atheist all the way. You know, there was no God and life did crash, you know, just like some of the beautiful stories we hear in our book. Without God, without Him, it's a spiral. At least it is for me. I can't say that for everybody, but it is a spiral. And as soon as I started turning back the other way, having a relationship again, understanding God as I needed to understand Him, it was a personal journey and still is. He allows me to have food for my Achilles tendon. It keeps me having red flags. I can go, oops, something's not right. And I turn back to the God of my understanding and say, well, what's going on? Anyways, this has been a four-year journey for me in OA, and I'm growing and learning more and more every day, but it's always focused and centered around the God of my understanding. And that relationship is getting stronger and better. I'm 62 years old now, but it's a good journey. And these 12 steps were a tool that He's been giving me to continually connect to my God of my understanding and work life. Because life will hit. And anyways, I'm a true believer now, and I no longer will ever be an atheist. But I love my journey, and I love God. And with that, I'll pass. Everyone have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you so much, Michelle J. from Arkansas. And next up, we have Deb E.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. So good to be on the meeting. It's been several weeks that I haven't been able to get on due to my own stuff. But the word I just honed in on right away in this reading today was to the point of self-destruction. And the first thing it made me think of was, you know, hitting rock bottom and even, you know, the months and years preceding hitting rock bottom and how I was just kind of trying to destroy myself and without knowing it, of course. And I think a lot of that came from just this emptiness I felt of not really, you know, not having any connection to any spirituality, let alone a higher power, other than just to kind of whine to and pray in fear, not at all the connection I needed in order to heal. And just this self-destruction of like not being in that state of not caring, like what happened to me, not seeing the value in myself. And then the next thing I thought of about self-destruction, or the word destruction really, is how, you know, in order for this program to work, I need to destroy my old beliefs and my old way of thinking, because that's all the thinking that led me the wrong way. You know, that wasn't the thinking that led me to a solution that higher power could give me and that the community in OA could give me. And then the only other thing I wanted to talk about was the disillusionment that, you know, that ties into my old beliefs. Like, I still get tripped by them now, where I have this old belief, this, like, stuff ingrained in my head that, like, life is supposed to be easy and things are supposed to go smoothly. And sometimes life feels easy and sometimes things go smoothly. But life, what I noticed for myself, is also about, like, hard things and challenges. And life is not, you know, it's not meant to be easy. It's meant to be, I hope, hopefully it's meant to be meaningful. That's something I strive for. And so I need to destroy that illusion that, you know, that this old belief that life should be easy still tries to get a hold of me sometimes. So I think I'll pass with that. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. Next up, we have Justin B.
Good morning, everybody. This is Justin B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. So happy to be here this morning. What a blessing this reading is. You know, I think if this paragraph, if this story that was in here was written about me, this first paragraph would, or this first sentence would read, "In this book, you will read the experience of a man who thought he was a believer." For my whole life, my lips proclaimed that I was a believer. My actions from the outside, from other people's perspective, showed that I was a believer. But on the inside, that God of my understanding was weak, was vindictive, was impotent, was unable to save me, was unable to do any of the things that I proclaimed with my lips that God was able to do. And it was even a couple of years into the rooms of recovery, as I was working my programs, as I was doing things and saying these things, that I was still, it was still just an empty shell. I didn't believe the words that I was saying until I had a spiritual awakening where I realized, holy crap, I have been an atheist basically my whole life, because this God of my understanding is not something that I can rely on to deliver me. And when I had that realization, and when I came to and sought out a capital G God rather than this small G God that I had been, you know, worshiping and speaking about, did this capital G God arrive, showed up. And I now, when I share about my relationship with this God, it's real. It's no longer wishful thinking, wishful speaking. It's real. And that power is beyond what I ever could have imagined. It was beyond what I ever testified to, as I was sharing things with empty words. And what a blessing that is in my life, and how that has delivered me one day at a time, as I remain in fit spiritual condition by doing my, well, by connecting with God every day. It's a miracle. Anyways, I'm Justin. I'm still a recovered compulsive overeater, and I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Justin B., for sharing your miracle with us. And before we take another lineup, I want to remind everyone we're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 55. We're starting on that bottom fifth paragraph that begins within this book, and we're reading two. We've read two full paragraphs, ending with brought him to the point of self-destruction. And who would like to share on those two paragraphs?
Cynthia C.
All right, gotcha, Cynthia C. Who else would like to share? We have plenty of time.
Jody E.
Okay, gotcha, Jody E.
Chrissy M.
Chrissy M.
Lee F.
Lee F. Man, you guys are taking it easy on me this morning. This is easy. I can hear everybody. Anyone, we could probably take one more in this lineup. Is anyone else?
Gail F.
Okay. Well, was that Gail F?
Yeah. F. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Okay. I've got Cynthia C., Jody E., Chrissy M., Lee F., and Gail F., and please let us know where you're calling from, and we'll go ahead and start with Cynthia C.
Thank you so much, moderator. I'm deeply grateful for your service and the service of everyone who has this meeting happen today and every day. I'm just deeply, deeply grateful to be here today. Oh, Cynthia C., recovering compulsive overeater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. I just reading these passages just helps me remember where I've come from. I've been in and out of the 12-step rooms for decades, and when I came back in the room 5.5 years ago, I had been in a 20-year relapse and deep, 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 deep into my food addiction and compulsive overeating. And I remember, you know, getting back to my first OA meeting and hearing someone tell my story, you know, and then within a couple of days, I actually found this meeting, and not only did I hear people tell my story, but I heard the solution. I heard working the steps. I was so grateful to find a meeting where people were really focused on the spiritual solution and working the steps, and it's just changed my life so significantly, I had a very, very short relapse in September, a day or two, but it wasn't just a day or two, it was everything that led up to it. And I just finished turning over my 6-step writing to my sponsor today. And I'm working the steps in 2 programs concurrently, which is actually working out really well for me. And it's deep and it's intense and it's the sense of acceptance of who I am and where my life is at, you know, and being able to look with compassion and love and honesty and forgiveness at my character defects and how they've been harming me and my husband and our family. But without, you know, without that relationship with a higher power, without my being able to get up in the morning and do my prayer and meditation and self-inventory and do that at night, I wouldn't be able, without that relationship with a power greater than myself that I can really lean in on, I wouldn't be able to do this deep work. I wouldn't be able to dig down deep and into this honesty. And, you know, and in that respect, I'm kind of grateful that I had that little one-day relapse because it helped me to see that there was just more work. There was just more for me to uncover. There was more whatever, trauma in my body that I can work through with the steps. There are lies and fantasies that I've been clinging to that aren't working for me, you know? That, and I think through working the steps, I feel like I'm learning to live in acceptance of myself and those around me. And for the first, like really, really, and it, I want to say not for the first time, because ever since I came back to these rooms and this room in particular, I've been learning.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. Just learning to be present and learning to accept life on my terms. So thank you so much. Grateful to hear everybody else. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. And Jody E., you're up.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So, yes, this friend, a minister's son, was rebellious at his religion. I was raised in a religion and I did not rebel, but I did not really learn much about the religion, and I didn't practice the religion. So I can't fault the religion. I didn't really know much about it, and I didn't practice it. And then, sure enough, business failure, or lack of business altogether, my own depression, my mother's suicide, and other calamities did depress me. I wasn't so bitter as I was depressed, and I too came to a point of near self-destruction. And I found Overeaters Anonymous. And these 12 steps, which suggest that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity around food. And my food problem was so ever-present from childhood. It was a constant obsession with me, my food and my weight. That really struck me. If a higher power can help me with that, that's pretty cool. And so I began my journey. And it has taken a long time, but slowly but surely, I did have I suddenly had a spiritual awakening, but then I slowly but surely worked the steps and had recovery, found recovery. That's what took time. Becoming willing to put down the food was step one, which took a long time, and then learning how to work these steps effectively through the Big Book, which this meeting has helped me to do. So this meeting, this Big Book way, entire abstinence and working the steps as if our life depends on it, does work. And I am one more voice in the choir to preach that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. And Jody's from California. Next up, we have Chrissy M. Chrissy, if you could hit star one, thanks.
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Chrissy M. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in the midst of my disease right now. I just got a new sponsor as of 2 days ago. We started working together. And, she asked me to come on to this meeting and to share, what's happening. And I didn't realize it, but she made me realize that, I wasn't having a good connection with my higher power, because I had some beliefs about my higher power that, wasn't helping me because of certain things. And I was glad we read this story because, that person also was, down in this hole that I feel like I'm in. But anyway, I'm just glad to be here. I don't know if we're allowed to leave our phone number, but I would love outreach calls. I need to call people. And, I'm in the Florida Keys right now. And my number is 305.
Chrissy, we'll have time to do that at the end of the meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because I haven't been to this meeting before. All right.
Of course.
And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy. And we're so glad you're here. We do have time at the end of the meeting after the recording stops to get names and phone numbers of newcomers, and you'll get tons of phone calls, so don't go anywhere at the end of the meeting. But we're so glad you're here, Chrissy, from Florida. Next up, we've got Lee F.
Hi, good morning. This is Lee from very snowy Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this reading just, it resonated. It took me back. And, you know, I've been in OA now. Oh, my goodness. It's going almost 30 years, which is kind of hard to believe. It's over half my life, which is kind of crazy to think about the math. And, you know, when I came in, you know, looking back, and especially after reading this chapter several times, you know, I was an atheist. You know, I was raised in a religion, and I never really understood it. And I really didn't understand. I mean, I guess I still don't really understand religion in general. But you know, what it left me is feeling very untethered. You know, I've kind of shared in my story. I was like a little buoy in the ocean, just kind of bopping around. You know, and just really, just very untethered, and that's very unsettling. You know, and you know, when I came into program, I remember doing an exercise early on and went to some workshop, you know, and we had to write a letter to our higher power, you know, kind of invent one, an ad. It reminded me of the scene in Mary Poppins where they, you know, craft an ad for a nanny that has all the things you want, you know, and they got Mary Poppins, you know, and for me, it was like, oh, I got the perfect higher power. You know, I remember writing it, you know, I wanted one that had humor, that was not subtle, and that I could talk to. And that's exactly what happened. You know, I've had to, and when I say not subtle, you know, sometimes I really need the obvious answers. And I've gotten that. I've had some very interesting HP experiences throughout my years in program that are like, whoa, you know, pretty profound. And so that I'm probably, that's not what I was seeking when I came in. Of course, you know, it was the weight loss and, you know, my issues with food. But what I got, my biggest gift, my truest, most profound gift, is my relationship with a higher power that I never had before. And it's just, you know, it still brings tears to my eyes, because it was just, I'm just so grateful. You know, that's not what I was necessarily seeking, or I didn't know it at the time. You know, I was young, I was struggling, and yeah, and here I am, and I still have a really nice relationship. And I wrote this morning, I have, you know, I take a little time in the mornings to do my meditation and writing and reading and, you know, all the things, and my quiet time. And I'm just grateful I get to do that, and that I want to do that, and that I seek it out, you know, and that it's like part of my day. So I'm just so glad to hear all the voices this morning, and just, you know, really read the passages.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'm wrapping it up, and that form that connection. So with that, I will pass. Again, I'm Lee in New Mexico, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks so much for your share. And next up, we have Gail F.
Hi, I'm Gail. I'm a compulsive overeater. And, you know, at the beginning of the meeting, I thought I unmuted myself, but I pressed the wrong number. So, you know, I'm going to ask God, could you please help me with technology? So I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm just moved here about a year ago. I'm originally from New York, so you can hear me. You hear have the real New York accent. And this is the first time that I'm at this meeting, and I really like the reading. You know, I belong to a few 12-step programs. And, well, first of all, I was brought up with organized religion, but I have to say that I only took the good parts. Like, I don't bash it or anything. I just say I really took the goodness from what I wanted to hear. So I believe that there's a loving God. And but sometimes at meetings, when if I know that there's a newcomer there, I'm like, I hope they don't say too much about God. I don't want to scare these people away, you know. You know, I just like the fact that there's a higher power. And, you know, I heard it someplace, somebody said, who am I to say there's a God? Or who am I to say there is none? You know, I don't know. But, you know, I just can't believe that something between me and alcohol or food, something had to happen, because I was beyond human aid. And so I believe that something or somebody up there likes me, because I can't figure it out. I don't ask too much about it. And, you know, next to my bed, I have the prayer my sister had recently given me three pages of acceptance, you know, from the big book. And I love that. And the other day I read it, and I was going through something and I was reading it. And, you know, sometimes I read that and I'm reading it while I'm gritting my teeth, like, all right, got to accept that, you know. And I'm always complaining that nobody ever follows the script anyway, but I have. So, but when the other day I read it and I actually just felt at ease. All of a sudden my shoulders dropped. The battle was over, whatever I was going through, a person, place, situation. And it just felt so wonderful. So I know that there's something up there that's in charge. And, you know, sometimes when I can't sleep, my favorite prayer is, let go and let God. And if I say that enough, it lulls me to sleep. I know that there's something up there that's better than me, and, you know, I'm not in charge. So anyway, I love this meeting. I just realized there's 140 people on this meeting, and it's pretty amazing, and I'm glad. We're bound by our weaknesses, not our strengths. And I know if there's new people here. Thank you. Anyway, thank you for having me here, and I'm glad I found you.
Thank you so much, Gail F. from New Jersey. Welcome, and we're really glad that you found us. I think we have time for probably two more shares. Who would like to share?
Anne M. Washington.
I think I heard Anne M. Okay.
Yeah.
And then there was one more voice after Anne.
Diane N. from Georgia.
Diane N. All right. Well, we'll see how it goes. We should be able to do two. And we'll start with Anne M. And please make sure to let us know where you're from.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be on again. It's Anne M. from Washington State. This paragraph really was reminded me of course, as everyone else has said, pretty much of growing up and take everything on a faith. For me, it was faith of fear. And as instructed, and I was very obedient, very scrupulous too. But I didn't really, looking back, I didn't know what I didn't know about what a true belief and faith was. And it seems I can relate to this this paragraph and this man who really, when I went through after being in an organized religion and then rejecting it entirely, went through a period of, okay, what the heck am I doing? Where am I going? What is going on? And I don't know, but I think most people who think about these things go through something like that. And for me, it was. And I realized there's really no empirical arguing either way. But for me, it was this finding, this leap into the unknown. And I really don't know. There's solar power. There's wind power. There's water power. I mean, there's so many powers out there in nature. And that is what has been speaking to me about unknown. I mean, I cannot control the sun or anything. But I take for granted these things that are a power greater than myself. And so a creative, this iteration of my faith has gone to this creative universe, which Bill W. mentions there in a couple of times in the big book. And I so can identify with that, and a faith that works for me, that through the steps, through working the steps, over 30 years of done this journey, and happily, gratefully with all of you, and you've all helped me. Thank you so much for everyone who does service and all members who helped me. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Anne M. from Washington State, and we have Diane N. next.
Hi, thank you, guys. My name is Diane N., and I'm from Georgia. Thank you all for your service today, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to share. I was just reminded of I haven't been able to be on the meetings in over a month. I spent the holidays in Nigeria, and I just was reminded. I'm just grateful for my higher power today, for God, for being in recovery, for being able to take this program with me. I wasn't always able, like I said, to get in on these calls because of the time difference or because of connectivity problems, but my higher power kept, God kept me, who's my higher power, in spite of that. And I just, it's as if a miracle just happens. He just keeps doing all these things for me. I've heard someone say, when we walk toward God, he runs toward us. I wasn't able to do my routine. I wasn't able to get up every morning and, you know, I was able to do my gratitude list or to do all the things that I do, but I was able to remain, I didn't have to eat compulsively because of this gift of recovery. So I don't question God because it's a miracle. You know, if you haven't seen a miracle, you can look at me. That whole month I was there, he made a way for me. Some days I couldn't find what I needed to eat, like the vegetables or whatever. But he provided because of the miracle of this, you know, of this program, because of I just believe that my higher power just made a way for me. And I believe that if I work this program, you know, I did my steps when I could. Actually, I worked the steps. I did live in the 10 steps, 10, 11, and 12. But sometimes I would send my step 10s to my sponsor, and they would bounce back. So I think that's what it means when I heard someone say, when we walk toward God, he runs toward us. And today I know that this is a program that I can travel with. And I've been to Nigeria before. In fact, I had my, and I didn't even think about this until today. This is while I was in Nigeria. January the 1st was my third year in recovery. And that, to me, that's a miracle because it's coming after being in relapse for decades. So if there's someone who's coming back because it's the beginning of the year, after relapsing back and forth, I was a chronic relapser. And or if it's someone that's new, please don't leave before your miracle happens. And I have received this gift of recovery, and I know I'm back now, so I knew I needed to be, you know, my meetings, do what I have to do, keep doing the next right thing. So thank you guys for being here today. Thank you all for 12-stepping me, and I am so grateful to God for this program and for my recovery, for the gift of recovery. Recovery is a gift from our higher power. And I'm so grateful that he blessed me to be able to receive this gift. Thank
Gentle
you.
Reminder.
I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane N. from Georgia. Thanks for closing us out and sharing your miracle with us. It's amazing. All right. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Lois P. please read? Actually, no. Will Kara L. please read a vision for you? A book is meant to be suggested.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.